You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Christy Simone, good morning to you all. It's going to be, as the titles of those 78 Vin Diesel movies, Fast and Furious. That's what's going to happen today. So thanks to everyone for participating in the Jethro Tull Trash or Treasure event yesterday. It was a very special day. And Tom did a Wake Up Tucson historical first. He played a flute solo. We played several minutes of commercial, came back, and he bumped in with the same flute solo that was still playing during the entire commercial. So, one thing I want to give you, Tull fans, I appreciate your endurance. Now, big show, big show today. Our friend Ron Arenas will be here at 6:45. Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling. It's coming. You know, House Stark always told us winter is coming. Summer is coming. So it's going to be a beautiful week, amazing weekend this weekend. But you got to get ready. We'll talk about some pre-checkups before it goes on. Rocco's Little Chicago, who wants to talk about his wonderful pizza, wings, and other delicacies. And he might mention Jethro Tull. 7:15 during that hour, Mark Van Buren will be here, our movie meister. He is going to spoil the crap out of me with top 10 Christopher Walken movies. Wow. Christopher Walken impression. So, and we'll talk about your Christopher Walken impression. So, and we'll talk about, Walken has some great cameos. And there's a cameo we'll talk about with Mark in a movie that you wouldn't expect Walken to like pop up in a way, but his role saves the movie for me. It's called America's Sweethearts with Julia Roberts, John Cusack, and Catherine Zeta-Jones. And we'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. Sean McCluskey will be here, Rincon Ventures. And then during Sean's third hour, we are excited to welcome back to the show women's basketball coach Adia Barnes, who right now, as we like to say, is occupying the rock star position in the University of Arizona Athletics Department. So, can't wait to catch up with her. There's so much to talk about. Aaron McDonald did get drafted last night in the WNBA. It's almost like that Howard said, WNBA draft, number 3 to Atlanta. Now, if I was familiar with WNBA basketball, I could tell you what's the name of the team. Tom, what are they? The Atlanta?
I don't know.
Oh, we're such sexists. All right, hold on.
I mean, I don't pay attention to basketball much, to be honest with you.
I don't either. Men or women. So, again, they're the dream. Got it. The dream. So let's do this. Let's do the rundown. What we got to do. I threw Tommy a bunch of songs today just to have some fun today. Something with a little bit of a fun beat, various genre, and we'll do it up today. So we'll probably a bunch of my TPD officers sent me a letter from the Tucson Police Protective League. And it's a labor relations group representing a portion of the Tucson Police Department. And it's the vote of no confidence in a lot of stuff. So I will read you. It's just not Magnus. And I will read you that today. What else do we got here today? Might have a little report on what's shaking on the border. Oh, there's a letter to the editor I'm going to read to you guys. that would never get printed in the Arizona Associated Dead Star. The title's getting longer. TUSD Summer School to Address Pandemic Learning Loss. We'll talk about that. Interesting thing about a proposal that will strip 144 cities of metro area status. And we'll talk about how that plays games possibly with the money. The Board of Rodents and the is there going to be a tuition increase? We'll talk about that. There's a great ad that was taken out in newspapers in Georgia from the conservative clergy of color demanding that Biden and Stacey Abrams stop lying about the Georgia voting law with their Jim Crow crap. We'll maybe talk about, if we really want to puke up today, the first 100 days of Joe Biden. We have Steve Scalise versus Dr. Fauci, that little psycho. The Pfizer CEO talking about how you're going to probably need a third shot. So that'll be fun. City charter, more casinos and sports betting. What else do we got here today? We got to hopefully get to this sex ed thing, but I keep running out of time as we start getting into our great guests and things like that. So let's start off. We'll come back and I'm going to read this letter from the Tucson Protective Police Protective League about the state of what's going on in the world. So let's go visit some great sponsors here on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. And let's do it. Let's go right into it. It's going to sound good in my headphones, too, my new headphones. Oh, here we go. Crank her up a little bit. Here we go. The Gibbs brothers. Nothing beats the Jimmy Fallon, Barry Gibb talk show. I just want to tell you that on Saturday Live. I am Barry Gibb. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. This pirate coffee is so good. This song got renewed for me at the closing credits of the movie Paul about the alien with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of forgot about it, and then I go, oh, this is probably one of the better ELL songs. So there we go, all over the world. That's what we are, using the power of the internet. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Before I read this letter from the Tucson Police Protective League, the Protective League sounds like a euphemism for the mob, but... the Tucson Police Protective League, it's one of the various labor relations associations for TPD officers. Last night, I usually like to put up some of the things that we're cooking at the DeSimone household. And the reason we do it is we hopefully encourage others to try to, you know, cook a little bit more at home. We love supporting your local restaurants, but a lot of us can't eat out all the time. And so I made what we call the brajol, baby, right? So I'm in Fry's. It's sitting there on sale right now, and they got these long slices of chuck roast. I'm like, oh, that's brajol right there. I knew it. It was in my spider senses went off like Peter Parker. Brajol. And so when I post things up, sometimes you guys go, hey, bro, where's the recipe, bro? Some things don't need a recipe. So here, this is how you make brajol. You take the piece of meat. You stuff it with good things. I did freshly grated Parmesan, fresh basil from the garden, and chunks of garlic. Rolled the sucker up, toothpicked it, seared it in a pan, and then I dropped it in a tomato sauce and cooked it for about an hour and a half or two. Serve with pasta, anything else you like. Don't eat pasta, whatever you want it. There you go, brajol. So there's recipes for brajol. I'm sure you can find them. But sometimes they're like, hey, man, where's the recipe? Sometimes I just pull things out of my sick brain. So let's get to this letter. Brajol is very important. I just want to tell everyone. All right, let me read this. This is an interesting letter. So I'm going to try to read it word for word so you get the whole feel. The Tucson Police Protective League, TPPL, is an association, organization associated with AZCOPS. And we've had Jim Parks on, a labor relations group representing a portion of officers of Tucson Police Department. Now, This is a big statement right here. Here we go. These are a portion of TPD officers that, from my discussion with them, does represent a large portion of their membership, of the officers' feelings. On behalf of the TPPL, it has been decided with careful consideration and input of our membership that we no longer have confidence in the leadership of Rahina Romero, the members of the city council, Chief Magnus, and his executive team. All of the aforementioned people caused, contributed, or stood silently while the Tucson Police Department has been damaged to a point it will take years to recover, even under competent leadership and significant support of local elected officials. As Ned Ryerson said, bing again, Phil. So this is all of you. So let's get your names out there one more time. Fimbris Kazachik, Nikki Lee, Paul Cunningham, Lane Santa Cruz, Karen Ulick, Paul Durham, Rahina Romero, Shirley Scott, who was there since Moses came down off the mountain, okay? Rodney Glassman in the old days, right? All the aforementioned people caused, contributed, or stood by silently while the Tucson Police Department has been damaged to a point it will take years to recover, even under competent leadership and significant support from local elected officials. Our officers and civilian support staff work daily in horrible conditions and under unreasonable expectations with the amount of staff we currently have. We are currently losing individuals on an almost daily basis to other agencies and even non-law enforcement related occupations. The leadership referred to in this letter has failed to take action or do anything significant to improve the situation at hand. Our agency can no longer continue on the current course, and significant change is required to fix the damage that has been done. Now, I don't know if you guys have sent this letter to be put in the Arizona Daily Star, even though I think Sarah will probably spike you. Remember, Ed Ackerley and the Tucson business owners have sent her at least a couple of different columns about police staffing, and she won't even return the email. But I would try. I would dare Jill Jordan-Smith, Sarah Gasson, and Tony, John, Dorlando, and Don there to spike this one. The city of Tucson appointed Chris Magnus to lead the TPD in 2016. The decision was made against the wishes of department members. The department members gave Magnus a fair chance. He started by making significant changes and restructuring the command staff that we already had in place. This move allowed him to insulate himself and cause uncertainty amongst the department members. Remember, I keep telling you that he walks right up the stairs to his office and doesn't want to mix with the regular police officer. Insulate himself and cause uncertainty amongst department members. This was the first step in a series of decisions that led to where we are today. Chief Magnus restructured the disciplinary process, removing clear guidelines and expectations necessary for fairness and transparency. These changes have resulted in inconsistent corrective actions, punishments, and terminations. The majority of the officers who have been terminated by Magnus have been reinstated by the Civil Service Commission. Now, this is Chris talking. This is the Civil Service Commission that the mayor wants to either eliminate or change because they don't like the fact that the Civil Service Commission is reversing Magnus's decisions. Magnus has publicly stated his frustration with the commission that overturns his decisions. He countered this by reassigning the exonerated officers to desk duty. These decisions are especially troubling as we face a staffing crisis. Several employees have also been placed on imposed leave for extended amounts of time while investigations dragged on. All of this has contributed to uncertainty amongst the employees, leading to a distrust of command staff and a fear of the part of the officers to do their job. Chief Magnus has a track record of demoting or transferring commanders who have disagreed with his decisions. This environment has caused commanders to become ineffective and afraid to make decisions. TPD has experienced a steady decline in morale over the past several years. Morale is currently at an all-time low. Many officers are seeking opportunities for employment with other agencies, retiring early or leaving the field of law enforcement altogether. There is an overwhelming sense of hopelessness amongst the remaining members. The department lost 133 sworn personnel between January 2020 and March of 2021. 133 cops have jumped the ship from the city of Tucson since two Januaries ago. This is an abnormally large number of employee separations and well above normal attrition rates. This statistic is particularly troubling when you factor in the average cost is $100,000 to train a new officer to replace one that leaves. A contributing factor to the dysfunction has been the recent decision of the chief and executive leadership not to respond to certain calls for service due to inadequate staffing. Another solution to address staffing shortage was temporary assignment of motor units. Our membership believes these decisions contribute to a further rise in violent crime and traffic-related fatalities. Magnus, in a recent presentation, said there was a significant increase in homicides. The number of homicides and traffic fatalities will continue to rise, endangering officers and citizens we swore to protect. Many officers have expressed frustration over the service provided due to lack of proper staffing. The members of our organizations have grown tired of apologizing for delayed response time to calls for service. This issue will not improve without drastic changes and major support from the elected leadership of our city. April 14th, respectfully submitted, members of the Tucson Police Protective League. When we come back, we'll have some reactions to this. We're having a little fun here on a Friday. It's going to be a very, very fun, fast-moving show as we get going here. So when we come back after the news, we'll a couple of little things about this, and then a few other things I got to get off the desk before the show just goes hyperspeed. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 voice. Woo-hoo! Tom, what were the name of the two female vocalists for ABBA? Just their first names.
I have no idea. Disco's not my wheelhouse, man.
Frida.
Okay.
I know there's something going on, right? She was saying that. And then Agnetha.
Agnetha.
Yeah. That's a great name. Agnetha. So she was the blonde, and Frida was the one with the shorter reddish hair. So there you go. A little useless music knowledge for you. So welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We're having a little fun on our Friday to send you guys off on your weekend with the music. I just read you a letter from the Tucson Protective League about their lack of confidence in Romero, all the city council members, Chief Magnus, and his executive leadership team. All the aforementioned people caused, contributed, or stood silently while the TPD has been damaged to the point where it will take years to recover. I think we've talked about this a little bit. So I will put it up on my Facebook page. If you would like a copy of it, email me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com, and I will send it to you. If anyone's listening from the TPPL, you really need to go to the newspaper. I think you guys should put it on the newspaper. So let's see. Oh, here we go. Here's a letter from one of our listeners. Let's see. It's in Facebook Messenger, so I got to put my glasses on for old man glasses here because it's so small and. I want to make sure I get it right. All right. This is from one of our listeners, Robert. As a proud 30-year resident of the great state of Arizona, former Border Patrol agent and registered independent, I'm deeply troubled that the Biden administration's considering, this is to send him a Senator Sinema. I am deeply troubled that the Biden administration is considering Chris Magnus to head up Customs and Border Protection. During Magnus's tenure, Tucson's experienced a significant increase in homicides since 18 and just saw its sixth homicide in a week. Sixth homicide in a week. Hit and runs are commonplace, and at any given time, we may have as few as five officers on a shift. Response times for various crimes for sexual assault are dismal if an officer shows up at all, and staffing levels are back to 1980s levels. It's a good letter. This is something I know that a lot of folks, some GOP folks or whatever, are going to start hitting Sinema and Kelly, that the last thing you should do. Again, remember, if they vote for Magnus, right? The reason they vote for Magnus is they also hate Customs and Border Protection, because that's why Magnus was chosen. He's an ideologue who hates Customs and Border Protection. He's written about it. He has refused to work with them. So here, let me give you an analogy. I don't know if it's a good analogy, but I'm going to give you an analogy. Making Chris Magnus the head of Customs and Border Protection is making Christy Simone the head of the Pima Democrat Party. That's what we're talking about. That's the disconnect here. So let's get to another letter. Friend of the show has a relative who lives in the great town of El Paso, Texas. And his relative is a U.S. Air Force logistics officer, and it's called a tour of the Fort Bliss emergency intake site where they're sending all of these migrants, or a lot of them. As I mentioned earlier, the Fort Bliss site is at 5,000 beds right now, and those beds are actual beds too high and can easily be increased. The site is right now 3,000 unaccompanied alien children. 3,000. So when, let me say this kindly, that idiot, Tim Steller, says, "There's nothing going on at the border," he's a jackass. Back to this letter. The EIS takes those between 13 and 17 years old, male, female. The burden of proof falls on the U.S. government to prove that the age is over 17 when they say they are 17, but they look like they're 32. Wow. How's that? Imagine you have someone, they go, "How old are you?" And they look like they're 32, and they go, "Oh, I'm 17. You know, it's like some of you that, you know, keep dyeing your hair and keep saying you're 23 years younger than you really are. But that's okay. Anyway, this site is a mess. This is from a U.S. Air Force logistics officer at Fort Bliss. The site's a mess. It's under contractor support. It looks like they are building the plane while it's in the air. The site is actively being built out to 10,000 beds. I walked into one 1,200 kid tent, and it smelled really bad, and the kids showered the day before. They were all lined up toe to heel on their way for some much needed outside PT time. Are they wearing their masks? Are they 6 feet apart? Oh, I don't think toe to heel sounds 6 feet apart. While they're still telling you 6 feet apart at your restaurants and your businesses, these poor kids are crammed in a line trying to get in and out of a tent that they're all shoved into. The crazy thing is the future planning is to have EISs around these, I guess this is intake something. What's the E stand for? I'll figure it out. Emergency intake something. Around the country is to hold 60,000 kids through the end of 2024. With an estimated total throughout of 1.2 million kids. This is from a U.S. Air Force logistics officer. They're talking, he's saying the plan is 1.2 million kids, emergency intake shelter. That's even better. Thank you, Thomas. There are 13 of these EISs as of today. The vast, vast majority are innocent kids with a few gang members detained each day and taken into a different kind of custody. The contract was quickly accepted. For example, the normal 40-hour training and background checks were waived for caregivers. So we don't have to do background checks if you're working with the poor immigrant children. There are medical issues with the process, as the caregivers often don't give the kids water because they don't want to... What a sick world. They don't want to give them too much water because they don't want to have to escort them to the porta potties. So you give them less water, it's less trips to the bathroom for the 1,500 kids shoved into one tent. Yes, Tim Steller. Tim, you're still an idiot. Medical has many cases of heat-related injuries, and kids are being sent downtown for urinary tract infections. And it's only April in Texas. Let's see. They get three hot meals, including there's the 5,000 staff members. Wow. Staff runs 3 by 8 hour shifts. There is limited freedom of movement on Fort Bliss. I heard the base commander's not happy having this in his fort. The military police are having a time with all the contractors going in and out. So anyway, that is from an Air Force logistics officer who is a friend of a very good friend of this show. And so, again, we're just shoving 1,500 kids in little tents. We want to have 1.2 million of these kids throughout the country. And the caregivers with no backgrounds don't want to give anyone water because, God forbid, the kids got to go take a whiz. You know something? Let's go to my good friend Joe Higgins. Joe, what do you say about this? I'm sure it'll all work out. 6:45 in the morning, we come back. We got our good friend Ron Arenas here. I just had his wonderful child, Abel. And, well, he's an adult child, so it wasn't like there was a 11-year-old working on my air conditioner. Very able young Abel. Wake up, Tucson. You're on 10:30 The Voice. Local news and local. Let me do this again. Hey, you're on 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. I'm going to get it. All right, 6:51 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. A little delight, as we like to say. Rocco's preparing in the kitchen an Italian feast of wings, Italian heroes, and sausage pizza, it looks like, for everybody here today. So hopefully you all wore your Picture Rocks heating and cooling logoed flexi pants, as we like to say. Ron Arenas, good morning, buddy. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm excited. I'm ready for some Rocco's food.
We eat some extravagant things here on a Friday morning.
Yeah, so. We do. I'll have to remember to wear my stretchy pants every time I come here.
So first and foremost, thanks for sending your child to my house on Tuesday or Wednesday when he was there to do my pre-summer checkup. He was
right.
A total pro. He's such a nice kid.
Thank you. It's always great to hear that.
His mother did a great job raising him, as we like to say.
Yeah, she did.
And again, we say it every year, and one of the reasons we do it, right, is to remind you guys that it's very important to get this done. Your wife was messaging me that you guys are amazingly busy right now.
We are. The last 3 weeks have been incredible.
That one little burst of heat around Easter, everyone got, oh, crap.
Right. Everyone panicked. So we're trying to get to everyone. Thank you for being patient, but we're out there servicing all of Tucson.
So talk about in this checkup that we do.
Right.
What's going on in the checkup so people understand that this is a full-blown process that you guys go through to make sure that when your AC really has to work hard for you in a couple of months, that we're not having, as we like to say, the 10:30 at night blowout.
Right, exactly. So we're going through the system. We're making sure that everything is working properly, working efficiently. And if there is any problems, then we're going to address it there and hopefully hit it off before the hundreds come.
And I just love the fact that you guys are going through, it's not just you're checking out coolants, you're checking out the electrical system.
Right.
You know. I had a dead pack rat in mine. I think the first time you ever came to my house, there was a dead pack rat.
I think so. And then another time you had a dead lizard.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm back up on a wash, so I think I...
Right.
They sneak into the, somehow they get in the bottom, then they freak out and try to get out the top, and then...
Yeah, then it's done.
It's like the fizzy lifting drink, a scene from Willy Wonka. But how much does it cost to do such a checkup?
It's $96 for a one-time visit, or if you want to do the maintenance plan, which is two visits, both spring and fall, it's $165.
Look at that. So again, what I love about these, and a lot of the Wakeys can attest, right? Not only do you get great service, great price, and at the same time, this is a group of professionals that you like having inside your house.
Right.
Which
and for the last 3 weeks, I've actually been out in the field doing service calls.
Look at you. Yeah. That's how busy it is.
That's how busy we are. Yeah.
That's good. How are you doing on the hiring side? Because that's always, every small business owner I'm talking to right now is having that.
It is. It's a problem. Hopefully I have another apprentice coming in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I have a tech that's moving back from Minnesota, and he should be here in a month.
All right. So, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So, and especially your jobs are even harder because they actually have to have experience in
right.
HVAC.
Exactly.
How's the plumbing side of the world?
It's good. It's good. Plumbing's been busy. Very, very busy. Both commercial and residential.
Well, and on the and of course, with everything going on in the world of houses changing hands left and right in this town,
right?
The work for HVAC and plumbing has got to be
oh yeah, and we do a lot of inspections for realtors also. So we come and check out, see if there's anything that's going on before that buyer buys their house.
What's going on? So your kids are in. You were involved with your kids playing football and things like uh-huh. that, and CDO. Well, just because you're one of my guys that are still connected that I talk to in local sports. What's the world of high school sports like? What's football looking like? What are they?
They just put out their schedule, so they have a 10 game schedule that's hopefully ready to go. They're still doing a little bit of practice here and there. Not. Practice with pads or anything, but they're sure. doing some conditioning and walkthroughs and all that.
Okay.
And Luke's going to a camp, I think at the end of April. He's going to do a Saturday, Sunday camp for big men.
Yeah. For big men.
Yeah. Well, for the line. Yeah. For the line guys.
And what are they doing school-wise? So they're in school right now. They're
in school 5 days a week.
Okay,
just
good.
Just like normal. Yeah.
Very cool. And are they CDO going to do summer school? Or are they talking about any of that stuff yet for anyone?
That I don't know. I'm sure they are. Okay. It might be online, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How do people... First of all, that $96, is that good? What's the geographic area that's good for? Is there any trip charges or
no
anything?
No trip charges. We pretty much go all of Tucson and surrounding areas. So Vail, up on the northeast side, Marana, Avra Valley, Oro Valley, Tucson, the southwest side.
Okay, so $96 gets you the checkup, and you can do, you said, twice a year plan now.
Twice a year is $165.
Awesome.
And that's usually spring and fall.
Awesome. All right, so again, Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling, picturerockscooling.com.
That's it.
440-4069.
That's us.
See, I got it after 9 years of you advertising with
right.
us. Right. DeSimone finally pulled his head out of his rear end. All right, it's National Bean Counters Day, so... Congratulations to all you bean counters. It actually has a picture of this classic HP calculator that the only guy I know who still has that is our good friend Gary Davidson. He's actually, it's a really good, it's the real pro HP. I remember he brought it in one day and we took a picture of it and all the nerds were excited that he had that HP calculator. It's a Day of the Mushroom. Hopefully it's the, you know, celebrates edible mushrooms, thank you, which can be eaten plain or stuffed. So always like a good mushroom. Wear your pajamas to work day. Has it been wear your pajamas to work year? Rocco, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's not wear your pajamas to work day at Rocco's. I'm sorry to say.
What's your favorite way to do mushrooms?
Wow. I just like a little porcini and any kind of sauce or soup or anything like that. And
sure.
just like gives it a flavor explosion.
I love any kind of, you know, do like the little baby portobellos, mm-hmm. chunk them up, put them in saute them in a pan and hit them with a little bit of either a little bit of fresh tomato I like in there at the end. And then I like crushed red pepper as a mm-hmm. flavor thing with my mushrooms.
Right. I also like, you know, Eastern European, you know, in your pierogies or in your sauerkraut-y dish or something like that.
I do very rarely if it's done, but if you do a good portobello mushroom ravioli, that's heavy on the mushroom. I hate when they put gray ricotta cheese in it, and they go, hey, it's a portobello mushroom. Not really, pal.
Right.
And then also National Librarians Day.
All right.
So,
as a, do we still have libraries?
Do we still have librarians?
Yeah. My cousin's a librarian up in Fountain Hills.
Oh, very cool.
And yeah, I use the library here in Tucson all the time.
Well, it's, I haven't been in the library since the Rona kicked in, and then they closed them, and I haven't even thought about
it. You just roll up, and they bring you a book out.
Which is
still the same. And they just keep renewing your stuff until somebody requests it. So right. I had books for like months.
It's so anticlimactic to have the roll-up book. You know, you got to go walk the stacks. Browsing. My cousin Jimmy has worked for the New York Public Library for years. And what's really interesting, he actually moved up in the world of, he's the book cop.
Ah.
And just like the guy in Mr. Bookman in Seinfeld. That's what he does for the New York Public Library. So I think he could do a television series about all the characters Jimmy's run into.
Yeah, no kidding.
Trying to track down books in New York City. Ah, we got a new show for Amazon. All right, when we come back, we got Rocco. Rocco's Little Chicago. Ron Arenas is here. Van Buren will be here, and he's counting down the top 10 Christopher Walken movies of all time. God bless America.